Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com. Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you today? It's Wednesday, and yes, we're back at our usual time, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you have enjoyed this week of very special, educational, enlightening, deep programming that I had for you this week. On Monday, we had two wonderful ladies on the show who were discussing their experiences going through infertility. And yesterday I had author and activist Miss Miriam Zoll discussing her book, Cracked Open, and the trials and tribulations of going through infertility and different issues surrounding women's health and fertility. And today we're just kind of continuing the theme of women's health. And today we're going to be talking on the show about fibroids and things that your doctors probably don't tell you when it comes to fibroids and why you need to know about them and why it's important. And so this issue is, of course, one that's very special to me because I do suffer from fibroids, and many women in our society suffer from fibroids, and it's kind of a silent epidemic. Just like infertility, there are millions and millions of women all over the world who are suffering from from fibroids, and especially women of color. For some reason, we seem to be impacted a lot by this particular disease, and it causes a lot of different problems. But before I get more into that, let me introduce my guest, Miss Wilson. She's done some wonderful work on fibroids, and she's going to be sharing her story with us and her journey. Hi, this is Tiffany Camilla. Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you so much for joining Get Deep and Keep It Real. We're so happy to have you on the show, giving us some education about fibroids.
I'm so happy to be here.
If you could please introduce yourself to my audience and kind of give us a little bit of background about who you are and how you came to be such an advocate about fibroids.
Sure. My name, as you just stated, is Pashawn Wilson. Ashley is my married last name. And it's okay. I use both. Started out as an artist, actress, singer, dancer. I'm from New York. I moved to California. And shortly after I moved to California, I was diagnosed with fibroid tumors. Mm-hmm. So like many women, upon the initial diagnosis, you're told that, oh, they're small, don't worry about it. Beware when you hear this small, don't worry about it. What that means is they know you're going to be coming back in a few years, and they're going to be large, and most doctors at that point are going to say, oh, you need a hysterectomy. So when I was first diagnosed, I didn't worry about it, just like the doctor said. And then a few years later, I went to another doctor, and I was told I needed a hysterectomy.
And, oh, wow.
And so I told her absolutely not, and she got upset with me because I wasn't accepting her, you know, word that I needed a hysterectomy. She told me, you know, don't hate the messenger, hate the message. Go to any doctor in the world, they'll tell you the same thing. And so what I did was I left there and went to my car, and I cried, and I'm so upset because I didn't show that to her. I was, like, really strong with her. No, I'm not doing it. Are you kidding? You know, she was telling me, oh, you can have a stroke, you can have a heart attack, you're anemic, you know, trying to scare me. There could be cancer hiding behind the fibroid. I said, is there a connection between cancer and fibroids? Oh, why would you say that? You know, I asked her.
Wow.
So I embarked on a journey of natural healing because I thought my only alternative was a hysterectomy. So I did many.
Right.
I did vegan diets. I was actually already vegan vegetarian, but I got even stricter with my vegan diet. I went on a diet where I couldn't eat anything that was a hybrid, which left many things. I couldn't eat anything that was genetically modified. That left even less. I went to acupuncturist. I did Chinese herbs. I did iridology. I did everything a little except Santeria and a little voodoo. And and was unsuccessful in getting rid of my fiber. So eventually I ran into a friend of mine at Whole Foods, and she told me about an African-American female gynecologist in Beverly Hills who did what was called a myomectomy, which up to that point I didn't know anything about. And she explained to me that where they removed the fibroids, but you are still able to keep your uterus. So I went to this woman, and she said, I can do a good job on you. And I was suspicious, and I said, what, hysterectomy? She said, oh, absolutely not. I can do a myomectomy on you. And one of the reasons the previous doctors had said I needed a hysterectomy was because of the size and location of my fibroids. And she said that would not be a problem. And so I had a myomectomy. Now, what made me embark on doing a documentary, which is what I'm doing right now on fibroids.
And what's the name? And what's the name of that documentary again?
It's called The Stranger Within: Fibroid Stories. If you go to YouTube and just type in fibroid stories, you'll see a clip with Rhonda Ross, Ross's oldest daughter. She's one of my co-producers. Beverly Johnson, very famous model, and myself. And among many women and many doctors talking about fibroids. So what makes
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you 1 second. If listeners, if you go to my Facebook page, Get Deep and Keep It Real, you can find the video link there.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just wanted to add that in. Okay.
No, thanks. So what made me decide to do the documentary after, you know, being an actress, singer, dancer, was when I woke up from my myomectomy, my husband and my sister came into the waiting room, and they were like, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, what? They said, we were in the waiting room, and there was another African-American woman there waiting for her sister. And a doctor came out and said to this woman, I'm so sorry. I know your sister was only 25 years old, and I had to give her a hysterectomy for her fibroids. And that I started crying, and I said, I have to do a documentary. Because what happened was she went in for a myomectomy, and they decided to convert it to a hysterectomy. And sometimes when you sign a release, most standard releases say the doctors can convert it into a hysterectomy, and it's up to their judgment. You know, and they could say, oh, you were bleeding too much. Oh, you had too many. Oh, there were complications. And it could, you know, that could be the reasons. But also it could be in 2 hours they have another surgery scheduled, and they don't have time to mess around in there with you for 5, 6, 7 hours that it takes for them to actually complete a myomectomy. And so my doctor assured me, even though I signed that same lease, that she would never convert it to hysterectomy, and I asked her percentages of time she's had to do that. That's an important question.
Okay.
How often do you have to convert a myomectomy to a hysterectomy? You want to ask that question. And she said, I've never had to do that. So I trusted her, and so she didn't do that. But this doctor, you know, 25-year-old woman, he just went on and converted her myomectomy to a hysterectomy. And granted, she might have been bleeding a lot. There are many doctors I've talked to afterwards when they're main thrust is preserving a woman's uterus. They'll do whatever it takes, and they'll take however long it takes. It doesn't matter to them. They will take the time to preserve a woman's uterus because that's their priority. And so that's how I decided to do a documentary, and I started interviewing thousands and thousands of women across the United States about their fibroid stories, and there are many similarities in stories.
Right. Wow. It's just, there's so many things, so many traumas that go on to women's bodies that we are not aware of. We don't know. We're not educating ourselves. We're not sharing these stories. And so these traumas keep happening over and over and over again. Wow.
Absolutely. The main thing is we have to be our own advocates. We have to do research. We have to find out what treatment is us. We can't rely on just a doctor to tell us because all they'll tell us is what they know. And I've interviewed women who are in their 20s and 30s who have had hysterectomies, and they say, I've known my doctor all my life, and he said I needed a hysterectomy, and I trusted him, and I did it. They didn't even bother to do research because they trusted their doctor. And so that, you know, I don't think at any age you should be told that your only alternative is a hysterectomy. I don't care if you're 50, 60. There's still options. Let me decide what I want to happen to my body. You don't decide that for me. And legally, doctors do not have to tell you about any other procedure other than the one they perform, because what they perform is considered gold standard. So they can know about other procedures, but they're not legally bound to tell you about it because those other procedures are below the gold standard because it's not what they do. You see? So when I asked the doctors that told me, I said, is there any other alternative? Is there anything I can do other than a hysterectomy? They were like, no. And you can't tell me no, but because that's not what they do, they didn't have to tell me about those other things.
Right.
Because they consider anything other than a hysterectomy, they consider it a Band-Aid. Because as long as you have your uterus, the possibility of fibroids coming back is great. So they, in their mind, why put a Band-Aid on it by just taking the fibroids out and leaving the uterus intact? Let's completely cure you and take the uterus out so you'll never have fibroids again. But again, let me make that decision based on education, not based on what you feel is a Band-Aid and a cure. And that's the purpose of the documentary, to let women know of all of the options that there are out there. So that we're not fooled into believing that that's our only alternative.
Right. Now,
disproportionately affects African-American women, too.
Okay, I wanted you to kind of get into that. So, I mean, so all women can suffer from fibroids, correct?
Absolutely.
But, unfortunately, women of color are the ones who are getting them the most.
Yes, it's according to what I've studied, it's predominantly women of African descent, and then Jewish women suffer from fibroids a lot also. Asian, and then Hispanic. But I even know some Armenian women who suffer from fibroids. So it's interesting, especially in talking to holistic doctors and medical doctors and all types of people along the fringe, just talking to them and finding out what their various theories are as to what causes fibroids. I've heard interesting stuff.
Okay, like what? Because I'm wondering, you know, if all women get them, but this one specific group of women tend to get them more. I'm like, is it the diet? Is it the environment? Is it the stress? Is it all of the above? Is it something?
All of the above.
Okay.
It's all It's all of the above, and also how you handle stress, because it would be hard put to find someone on the planet that doesn't have stress.
Right.
But definitely, you know, there are studies that show that fibroids grow because of certain hormones, progesterone, estrogen in particular. And we know that stress makes those hormones reproduce, right? So then you have, you know, a predisposition for fibroids, a genetic predisposition, if you will, and then you have environmental factors. You have estrogenic factors that you're not even aware of, plastics and all kinds of things in the environment, and then you have stress that's not being let out, you know, being held in, you know, emotional responses to things that are not necessarily helpful. And you have the perfect storm to create fibroids in certain women. So it appears as if, you know, certain women have a genetic predisposition, but then when you put all those other factors in there, we tend to get it more. And, you know, so no one really knows. If someone knew, it would be done with, although I did speak with one doctor, African-American OBGYN, who claimed she knew, and she told me for $10,000 down she would tell me what it was.
Wow, wow. Sounds like extortion to me. Wow.
$10,000 down. So I was like, okay, what's the rest of them, you know. But anyway, she did give me a little insight to what her thought patterns were. And she said she used to, you know, let African-American or women of color know what was causing their fibroids and what they needed to do to alleviate the fibroids. And she said that black women just didn't want to do what was necessary. We didn't want to do the emotional work. We didn't want to do the spiritual work. We didn't want to do the dietary work. Black people didn't want to do the work, but now she's not giving it away for free.
Wow, that's deep. Now that's deep. Wow. Okay. All right. So you're just going to hold and hoard the information.
But it's definitely a combination. It's not just food. I mean, I was a vegetarian when I got fibroids, but I did eat a lot of soy, and definitely sensitive to soy. You know,
I hate to interrupt you about that, but I really think there is something going on with soy, because I wasn't vegetarian, but I did eat a lot of like soy because it was so that, oh, soy is good for you, this, that, and the other. And I'm telling you, a lot of these diseases, like I had thyroid cancer. A lot of them have
That's interesting. I have hypothyroid, and I will get that later. And a lot of women with fibroids turn up to have hypothyroid, Hashimoto's, or hyperthyroid. And some doctors say, oh, there's no connection. But I have talked to other doctors who say there's a connection between the adrenal glands, the hypothalamus, the thyroid, hormones, and fibroids. And the body is a machine that works together, so it doesn't make sense that something is not connected with the other.
Right, exactly. Because I never had a fibroid until I was like 35. I had always had like endometriosis and stuff like that. But then when I was 35, I was diagnosed with having cysts and like one or two fibroids.
I had cysts in college. Yeah.
So,
and it's interesting. I don't know if you know Christiane Northrup, who wrote the book,
no,
Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. She was a
guest on Oprah.
Yeah, check the book out. Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. She's written quite a few books. But she's a medical doctor, but she talks about the like spiritual, mental components to disease. So Louise Hayes is another person who's good. She talks about the spiritual, mental components to disease. But Christiane Northrup talks about blocked creativity and how our womb is the center of birthing ideas, children, relationships, those kind of things. And when those things are not allowed to grow, she believes that that's one of the things that contributes to women having fibroids. And that made sense for me. You know, blocked creativity, relationship issues, you know, I think it's always more than one factor, but you have to combine the mind and the body in order to really cure dis-ease.
Right. And I think that is such the disconnect going on in this country, as in this society as a whole, but specifically, unfortunately, to the African American society. I think there are patches and parts of us who are getting it, but there's so many of us who aren't really getting it.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy trying to live our life through other people's experiences and other people's culture, and mm-hmm. It's killing us.
Yeah. It's interesting because I know used to be a time when endometriosis primarily affected high-powered white women. That was their disease. You know, disproportionately affected them, you know, type A white women who were bosses, you know, that kind of thing. And then fibroids was the thing that we manifested more often. So it's interesting, you know, to really explore what are the mental and environmental things that contribute to women having fibroids. And I do notice, and I know for myself, I'm a worrier, and I internalize it, you know. Yes. And one of these doctors that I interviewed, holistic doctor, she talked about a connection with a people who have been oppressed and what that mm-hmm. does to us genetically. And she said that's why, you know, women with a slave history, Jewish mm-hmm. women with the Holocaust, Armenian with the mm-hmm. Armenian genocide, that that's one reason why those three groups of women suffer from fibroids more than others, that internalized oppression, that internalized, you know, strength and can tolerate and deal with anything and going to be strong mm-hmm. no matter what, because we've dealt with so much and not really being able to express and get rid of that stress in a way that's conducive to not causing dis-ease in the body. So, you know, but it's hard if that's what you know and that's what your genetic code, you know, but it's doable.
Yeah.
You know, we have to find ways to do that. I know some people talk about biofeedback and, you know, some doctors try to help you reprogram your mind so that you respond mm-hmm. differently. And, you mm-hmm. know, so there's a lot of stuff out there. We just have to explore and experiment.
Exactly.
And set each other to come up with so we can help.
I think you had mentioned it earlier, like acupuncture. I found for myself personally that mm-hmm. acupuncture really helped me with a lot of different things, whether it was depression, back pain, cramps, all of that. It seemed to help minimize it. But also juicing helped me a lot. I really noticed that when I was juicing for health purposes, to heal from the thyroid cancer, that I noticed how my menstrual cycle, I didn't bleed as much, I didn't have as many cramps. And so I think, you know, as you were saying, the combination of those things can really help, and just like the combination of that stress and that bad eating or whatever can cause it, those are some of the things that can fix it. And we, as a society, have to do a better job about embracing those things and not just running to the doctor to get medicine and surgery.
Yeah. It was interesting. One of the doctors I went to who put me on the diet where you couldn't eat anything that was genetically modified or anything that was a hybrid, I went down to 95 pounds, at one point from these different diets. But, you know, it helped with the symptoms. I went to acupuncture, too, and acupressure and all that. And they all helped with the symptoms, but they didn't get rid of the fibroids. But they did help with the symptoms. Right. And ultimately, when I had the surgery, I had 13 fibroids, and four of them were large. I'm talking about cantaloupe size, watermelon size. I mean, really large fibroids. So I think the holistic things I did helped with the symptoms, but I don't think it got rid of the fibroids, because I can't believe I had, like, more fibroids than that and larger size fibroids than that, you know, and they shrunk down to that size with the holistic things I did. I think I had a size and that many the whole time, and it just helped with the symptoms. And so I said to the doctor, I think
the reason why my fibroids, you know, didn't shrink or disappear is because you only dealt with food. You only dealt with
right.
that aspect. I said there's right. a mental aspect to it also, and you didn't deal with that. And so that's why I think my fibroids didn't go away, because supposedly there were other women that had changed their diet and their mm-hmm. fibroids shrunk. But these were people, women who walked in off the street with the standard American diet. I was already eating pretty clean, except for the soy.
Right.
You know, these were McDonald's, you know, Jesse Moore stew, I mean, all kinds of junk. And then they go to this, you know, vegan diet, and they do the herbs, and I guess their fibroids were like, woo, you know. But my fibroids were not impressed with any of the diets I tried. They were like, we ain't going nowhere. This is not that much different from what you've been doing. We'll make you skinny. But we're not going anywhere. Stubborn. They were stubborn. So it's a lot of stuff to explore, And we have to support each other and help each other with information so that, the next generation, I think about my nieces and my, daughters of my friends and family members, and I don't want them to have the same experience. I want them to have a different experience. And definitely I know that worrying and stress and relationship issues and feeling unfulfilled in a relationship and all that stuff is not good for any health condition at all, let alone fibroids.
Right.
So we have to learn how to really express ourselves and do what we need to do so that we don't have dis-ease in the body.
Exactly. And another thing that I really wanted to bring up is, like, this whole thing of birth control pills and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was kind of surprised when I found out I had fibroids, because I couldn't take birth control pills that much because they would give me migraines. And so I was really shocked because I was like, really? And I don't have any proof behind it or anything like that.
Right.
But sometimes I feel like that's an influencing factor as well.
I think so, too. I didn't take birth control pills either. I tried them, and it didn't work. And my breasts got really tender and sore and large, it didn't work. So, which means my body was super, super, super sensitive to the estrogen in the pill. And
exactly.
I have talked to women whose fibroids got larger after the doctor put them on the pill to help them shrink their fibroids. And I'm like, what kind of sense does that make? Well, it's a low-dose estrogen, but if you're sensitive to estrogen, low dose doesn't matter. Every single person I interviewed, or they were doing fertility treatments and they were, being injected with hormones and then the fibroids got bigger. And
I was going to bring that up. I was going to just say that. I just went through infertility, and it was crazy because one of the infertility drugs, I don't know how much it really affected my fibroids, but it made me have a lot more cysts. So then I had to get on birth control to take away the cysts. It was just like crazy, but it just kept making me think, what do all these drugs and hormones really do to our body?
Right.
It's
a vicious cycle,
Yeah.
But you're hard put to find a doctor. I have found a few doctors. This is Dr. Alan Warshawski. He wrote a book called Healing Fibroids, A Doctor's Guide to a Natural Cure. And he's a doctor. Heard he was in Rye, New York. He was practicing there. But he's been successful in helping women shrink fibroids and become asymptomatic. So the fibroids don't go away, but as long as they're smaller and you don't have any symptoms, who cares whether they're still there? And he does protocol, he does hormonal protocol, he does diet protocol, and he's been successful at helping women to shrink fibroids.
Now, he's in your video, is that correct?
Yes, he's the one, with the white hair. And he said he walked into an operating room and they were removing a perfectly healthy uterus. That's that doctor.
Right.
Dr. Alan West. And then Dr. Stanley West is the older African-American doctor who wrote a book called The Hysterectomy Hoax, H-O-A-X, The Hysterectomy Hoax. And he's been teaching myomectomies for 40 years, and he says those doctors still graduate and they still do hysterectomies because they can make more money.
He's like, why do they want to do a myomectomy that's going to take them 4, 5, 6 hours each myomectomy when they can do a hysterectomy and be, you know, do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, in a day. So,
right.
You know, it's not that they don't have the skill. He teaches them the skill, and they still decide to do hysterectomies because of the monetary benefit.
Wow. Well, we know a lot of that is going on in this country
mm-hmm.
with various
and insurance, too. Let's talk about insurance. Insurance is after you get a hysterectomy because then they're done with you. Your uterus is out.
Yep.
They don't have to worry about children later. They don't have to worry about cancer. They don't have to worry about any other health issues with your uterus. They're done. Pay that little bit of money, and you're done. But with a myomectomy,
right.
you still have your uterus, you can still have periods, you can still get cancer, and they'll have to keep paying out. So they
mm-hmm.
pressure doctors
mm-hmm.
to do hysterectomies over myomectomies.
Right. And that's very, very true. I mean, I've seen it for myself working in the industry, insurance industry, and for doctor's offices and stuff, how, you know, we would do a lesser procedure and get less money than doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, a more quote-unquote, not necessarily harmful, but maybe harmful for that particular patient because that was the only thing the insurance might pay for.
Exactly. And that's just criminal to me. It's just criminal. It's the big pink elephant in the room. It's just
right.
It's unforgivable that would come before a woman's health. You know, but then also you have to look at how they're educated in medical school, you know,
right.
that, you know, they cure versus Band-Aid, and they really
yeah.
believe, you know, it's a cure because the uterus is gone and you don't have to worry about anything else down the road.
Right, right. They don't think about the other long-term mental effects
right.
it has on these women. And
oh, my gosh.
It's because we're women.
Right, and everything was put where it's supposed to be for a reason. So if you just take something out that vital, you know, you can't tell me that there's not going to be some type of side effect. And I talked to
right.
some women right after a hysterectomy who were like, oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever done. I feel wonderful. It's, you know, and then a couple of years later, they're like
yeah.
hot flashes, vaginal dryness,
yeah.
no sex drive, prolapse, you know, organs. Just all, they have to go on hormone replacement therapy, all kinds. Pharmaceutical companies, of course, is happy about that because you have to stay
yep.
on those hormones for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's heartbreaking, especially friends of mine who have had myomectomies like 4 or 5 times, you know,
mm.
in an attempt to not have a hysterectomy. And then after the 4th or 5th myomectomy, they're like, I can't have another surgery. I'm just going to go on and have a hysterectomy. And then they just go on and do it because they, you know, fought the good fight. And then,
right.
you know, when those symptoms kick in, you know, the regret that comes with that. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's really sad.
I mean, I can't emphasize enough how you have to be an advocate for yourself with any medical problem or concern you may have. And if you don't have a doctor who is not willing to co-treat with you, and what I mean by co-treat
mm-hmm.
is basically, you know, you're coming in, you're saying, hey, I've kind of researched this. I know you're the expert in this particular area, but I'm the expert on my body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how can we both go and treat me for this issue that I'm having? Here's some ideas that I have. Let's hear your suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we find a middle point? You know,
right.
You really,
Absolutely.
You really, really have to do that. And
Absolutely.
I'm really a component also of doing integrative medicine along with
mm-hmm.
Western medicine. So what I mean by that is doing your acupuncture, doing Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, all of the above, in addition to
yes.
your Western medicine. Because really, how from the East, the way they look at it is that Western medicine is basically for surgery, usually of broken bones or something, and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else that's kind of preventative, they tend to do more Eastern-style medicine. And that's kind of the way I look. But even with something like cancer, I still say employ those techniques. And even with broken bones, I still would get my massages and acupuncture because a lot of times it would speed up the healing.
Yeah.
And then as far as like the Ayurveda approach, they kind of combine everything, the mind, the body, the food, everything combined together to treat the person. And it's very individualistic. So you and I could live in exactly the same household, but the approach to us would be totally different because your stressors might be different than mine. So that's how they kind of go.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when I went to my acupuncturist, she talked about the mental component vibrate, and I remember her saying it was holding in anger and denying of the feminine side, because they deal with yin and yang and the balance.
Right. Exactly.
And like having too much masculine energy, meaning that strong black woman, I can take yin, I don't need no, that kind of energy is what she thinks the fibroids. So I thought that was interesting.
Right. Now, there's one thing to have a disease and kind of speak out about it. I mean, what was the thing that really made you decide to do this documentary? Because I thought I was like, wow, what made this young lady really want to do a documentary about this?
Well, hearing that story that I talked about earlier in the in the recovery room about that young woman who was given a hysterectomy at 25 years old, that's what made me want to do the documentary, because I realized that was going on throughout the world. There, as we speak, there's someone being given a hysterectomy unnecessarily. And so that's what made me, decide that I had to do something about it. And so I called a partner, a friend of mine who had directed me in some films, who had a film company, and told him I wanted to do a documentary on unnecessary hysterectomies for fibroid tumors. And he said, oh, my gosh, that just happened to my wife. I want to do this project with you. And he flew out here to California. And with his, with his crew and with his equipment, and we started interviewing people, and then we flew to Atlanta and interviewed an herbalist there, and we've flown to Philly and New York and, different places interviewing people. Mm-hmm. But his wife had just been given a hysterectomy, and he said, I want to do this. And so it affects so many people. If it hasn't, you know somebody who has been affected by this.
Right.
So people ask who the audience is. If the audience is anyone who knows a woman,
Right.
So it's so common. And even some of my friends I have a friend that's a yoga instructor, and I had spoken with her some years back, and she's like, oh, I don't have them. And then a few years later, she called me, she said, girl, I got them. And I know she was in a really tumultuous relationship, and there's a lot of drama going on, and, all kinds of stuff, and, all kinds of drama. And sure enough, she ended up with fibroids. So I don't know what treatment option she's decided to use, but it's something else. But that's what made me decide to do it, hearing that young woman's story, of being given a hysterectomy at 25.
Right. Wow, that's awesome.
And so now we have a lot of footage. We have over 40 hours of footage shot. And now we're in the process of raising money to edit the documentary.
Right. Great. Because I was going to ask you, can we expect to see that on a larger distribution scale, out there more?
Absolutely. I will definitely keep you posted once we work that out. I just want to edit it so I can just get the information out there.
Great. Well, we have about 4 minutes left in the show. And so, I don't know, are there any, final thoughts or pointers that you would like, or promoting any other work you have going on that you would like to put out there?
One thing I think is worth noting, I had a girlfriend who had fibroids, and it's someone I've known since I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and she had uterine artery embolization. And, you know, where they inject radiated pellets into your blood vessels, and it cuts off the blood supply to the fibroids, and they begin to shrink. And so they, you know, I guess she got some other fibroids other than, and after that, she also had fibroids. So anyway, she went to an herbalist in Atlanta, and the woman questioned her about relationship issues, family issues, traumas, all that kind of stuff, really trying to get her to, you know, unearth some of that gook that's there that's contributing to her problem. And so she did the herbal protocol, and she did the mental spiritual work on herself. And then she called me and said that she passed a fibroid. And I thought that was impossible, especially because it didn't happen for me, and especially since I had actually witnessed a doctor doing a myomectomy. In my documentary clip, you see me in the operating room while a doctor performs a myomectomy, and just looking at the structure and everything of the way a woman's uterus is, it didn't seem possible to me. But I had heard a couple of women say it before. And so she sent me a picture of it, and I was like, I have to meet this herbalist. So I went to Atlanta, and I interviewed her. She did a women's wellness conference, and I went and I interviewed a lot of women who had successfully shrunk their fibroids or became asymptomatic, and my friend interviewed her also. And so I don't know whether, you know, fibroids are like on a stalk, but I don't know whether this was one of the fibroids that had, you know, shrunk during the uterine artery embolization, but was still in her body, and the herbs just helped her pass it. But she actually did pass it. And so there's a woman in Atlanta who's been really successful in helping women with their symptoms, fibroids. And I've turned on a number of women to her, and they've all had glowing things to say about her and her treatment. But you have to stay with the treatment. That's the thing. Once they stopped doing the herbs and the diet and the mental work and all of that stuff, their fibroids started growing again. So, you know, it's no joke dealing with fibroids. Nothing is easy. Even if you have surgery, the myomectomy, and you think, okay, I'm done, I had the surgery, I'm fine. If you go back to doing exactly what you did before the surgery, they're going to come back, you know.
Wow.
And so the same thing.
And do you happen to remember this lady's name in Atlanta?
Oh, no. Yes. Her name is Aishen. Aishen, the herb sister.
Okay. Maybe you guys Google it. Okay.
Yeah. Aishen, the herb sister. She's in Atlanta. And she has womb wellness calls and conferences and all kinds of stuff. And she's really educated about the subject. But she definitely encourages people to alter their diet and to alter their mental diet also, and also to do her herbs. And her herbs are something special because they've been really helping women to alleviate the symptoms of the fibroids. So we got to do research. I'm sure she might not even be the only person out there. We gotta find them. But we have to be willing to do the work. That's the thing, too. Because I've gone through a number of holistic doctors and had friends also trying to get rid of their fibroids too, but a lot of people didn't want to deal with the dietary restrictions. Let me just cut it out. You know, I don't want to not stop eating chicken. Cut it out.
Right. Yeah.
But we have to be willing to do the work, mental and physical work.
That is
so
definitely
that's what I would like to say. Absolutely.
Well, this has been a very educational conversation. I am so happy we were finally able to get you on the show and to talk about this because I've really been wanting to talk about this for a long time because it just really bothered me that so many Black women of color, were having these issues with fibroids, and it seemed like, you know, you go to the doctor and it's just like, oh yeah, right, you know, like ain't no big deal. And I'm like, really? This is not
Have
cool.
you heard of the White Dress Project? The White Dress Project?
No.
You can Google it. I think it's on Facebook too, but it's I think it's a group of women who are trying to do something in terms of, you know, even legislature to bring attention to this condition. And the whole premise is, you know, we want to be able to wear white dresses again because, of course, you know, if you have fibroids, you never dare wear white could happen. But,
okay.
Yeah, so my sister turned
they're
me
on Facebook.
I'm gonna do some
I just found them. I Googled them, where, as you said it, they're on Facebook. So everyone, you can go to Facebook and just type in White Dress Project, and it'll come up for you.
And I'm on Facebook also with Kashawn Wilson Ashley if anyone wants to contact me with any questions or whatever. Kashawn Wilson Ashley on Facebook.
Okay. I didn't want to give out your info, but thank you very much for sharing. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Well, yes, as I was saying, this has been an awesome conversation. I really appreciate you, my sister, for coming on and educating myself and my listeners about fibroids in your documentary, and I wish you the best on that.
Thank you.
I don't know, maybe we'll have to get together and do something about infertility too, because that's another silent epidemic that's kind of going on as well and stuff.
Absolutely.
Well,
thank you so much for having me, and let's definitely
stay
in touch.
All right, take care. You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation that we had with Ms. Kashawn Wilson Ashley talking about fibroids. And make sure you go to YouTube and check out her documentary, which is called, I think it's just go to YouTube and put her name. You can find it. And better yet, go to my Facebook page, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and the information is there. And if you just give me 1 second, I can tell you the name of it. But I really appreciate you for joining my show today. And the name of that documentary is, I'm on the page. Okay, how come I can't find it? But and anyway, go to my page and you can find the link about her story. If you go to YouTube and type in Kashawn Wilson, P-A-S-E-A-N, Wilson, Fibroid Stories, it will come up for you, okay? All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week. We learned a lot. We learned about infertility. We've learned about fibroids. And one of the common links that we found is that what we're eating and putting in our bodies and the stress that we have going on is really affecting our health. So we really, really need to work on that. Okay? All right. Peace, love, and happiness and health to you until next week. I'm not sure what I'm going to do my show on next week, so it'll be a surprise. But I'll be sending out the invites to all of you. So just stay tuned next week, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Love you.